This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner, McPherson's sports talk show.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it!
Listen every day, Monday through Friday, from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. According to Jim is your source for Chiefs talk.
10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, a 106-yard kickoff return right out of the gate.
The Royals.
Swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Cologne, and the Royals win it.
College football and college basketball.
8 to shoot, Hall, the runner. Loose ball, it's good! The slipper still fits!
And everything else that's going on in the sports world.
Inside corner, the Royals, 2015 World Champions!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's your host, Jim Joyner.
Let's do this thing, According to Jim, on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. And of course, you can find our podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. We are live and on the air Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1. Well, I'm Jim Joyner, he's Steve Sell, and of course, the number one topic to talk about this afternoon is the Kansas City Chiefs, Steve, who lost to the Oakland Raiders last night 31-30, and this is an emotion that I haven't felt in a long time. I watched the game last night. I then had about an hour to cool down after I came back to the station to do sports. Then I went home and went to sleep. And when I came back even into work this morning, I'm still feeling this emotion that I haven't felt for this Chiefs team in a long time. And I remember the 38-10 game in the playoffs when they lost to the Colts and were up 38-10 in the third quarter. That was more of a shocking emotion where I was just so confused as how that could happen. And then if you go back to like the playoff game against the Steelers last year, it wasn't a mad emotion. It was a, well, man, we had our chances and Pittsburgh is better. Today is a mad emotion for me. I'm still steaming. And the thing for me...
And you're a Chiefs fan.
Well, yes.
We got to qualify that.
Yeah, it's very clear. The thing for me is the Chiefs had their chance last night to assert themselves in the AFC, assert themselves in the AFC West, and knock out their rival in their own place on their baseball field in the Coliseum with tarps all over the place in their stands. They had their chance to end that team and make them 2-5, five consecutive losses, and put them away. And they had the ball with 4 minutes left and couldn't move it to go kick a field goal to essentially ice the game or even a first down or two. Then the defense gave up 505 yards and 85 of those 505 in the final 2.5 minutes, and they let the quarterback, who apparently had a broken back 2 or 3 weeks ago, drive down the field and beat them like 4 different times. It was such a frustrating game because they had so many opportunities, and you've probably heard me say this before, that I don't blame officials for things. Now, I think they did not call that game very well either way, but the calls were even. It was poorly officiated, poorly handled, but that's not the reason they lost. The reason they lost is because the secondary was absolutely exposed.
505 yards of offense, no sacks, no pass rush. They have two defensive backs that, quite frankly, probably shouldn't be playing, but they're playing out of necessity. Terrence Mitchell has become the most recognized defensive back in the NFL because, let's face it, almost every Chiefs game has been a national game.
Yeah.
You know, they've been in prime time, what, 2 times, 3 times already. And Terrence Mitchell, I think everybody in the country knows who he is because
everybody
throws at him. And then Phillips Gaines, in his defense, he's got, you know, he's never recovered from that bad knee, but you got to find somebody that can cover people. And the pass rush, oh my gosh. It just showed last night how much the Chiefs miss Eric Berry.
Yeah.
Because in the middle, the Raiders would not have been running unabated in the middle had Eric Berry been there. He's an enforcer. Eric Murray, he's about 25 pounds less than Eric Berry. You got the two, you know, Murray Berry and both named Eric, so we got to keep them straight. But Eric Murray, young, inexperienced guy. This defense is getting exposed. It got exposed last week. Somehow Pittsburgh only scored 19 points, but they ran roughshod through that defense. And then last night, Oakland really did expose them for what they are, and that is a team that is just not very good on defense. And the other thing, I think last night also showed how much they missed Dontari Poe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it always took two blockers to block Dontari Poe, you know, and they were a lot better against the run. And because Dontari Poe used to consume two blockers, that left, you know, a linebacker able to shoot the gap because of the opening, and that's why they had more sacks last year. But right now, you know, Dee Ford, he was so exhausted by the game's end. In fact, I wrote in my column, if you go to midkansasonline.com today, I've got all my thoughts on the game last night. Dee Ford was so tired. There was a snap. He basically just stood up, and it was like, I'm so exhausted, I can't even rush. So he just stood up and basically watched the game as a spectator. So a very tough loss for the Chiefs. I'd never seen a game with that many plays after time had expired. but still go back. They had the ball with 4 minutes ago. They moved the ball the entire game. They get 4 minutes to go. They're afraid to make, you know, instead of making a play, they're playing not to lose. And generally when you play not to lose is when you lose. And, you know, they had Kareem Hunt in the flat open all night. Really didn't go to him. Kelsey wasn't a big factor. Tyreek Hill was phenomenal. But
he's so tough. He gets hit so hard.
That's a game the Chiefs should have won. And when the season's over, I hope they don't look back and say, that's the game that, you know, really did our season in. They're still 5-2. They're still in the AFC West lead. But, you know, they've got Denver at home. I think that Denver game at home a week from Sunday is going to be what the course of their season. If they lose that game at home, I think it's 9-7. I really do. I mean, and then I think it's going to be a wild card. They're going to be a wild card team and have to go on the road in the first round. So, boy, that game last night, that just swung. For one thing, like you said, the Raiders would have been knocked out. So it just been the Chiefs would only had to worry about the Broncos. But now the Raiders, you know, they're back in contention. They got, you know, some semblance of hope. Although when you look at their schedule, it's going to be tough for them. They just got done playing three straight games at home. They should have lost all three. Had they lost to the Chiefs last night, that would have been three losses at home in the last three games of the last 3 weeks, and that would have done them in.
The other thing that makes me I'm not discouraged about the season. I'm just discouraged about the last couple of games. And this was almost the perfect storm for the Chiefs to get these two teams. Pittsburgh last week, coming off of the worst game that Ben Roethlisberger has ever played. This team is butting heads with each other. They can't figure anything out. Antonio Brown is not playing well.
Jacksonville, baby.
They lost to Jacksonville. And this Pittsburgh team, if the Chiefs just go pop them in the mouth, they might fold. Big Ben might say, I'm done for the year. My foot hurts. That could have been it for them. And they let them off the hook and did not play very well. Then with Oakland, this team is very strange. And when you look at what happened in the first half of the game last night, this Oakland team has a player run on the field that was not involved in the play and go defend a player on the other team from getting another personal foul, maybe get ejected from the game. A player on the Raiders ran onto the field to protect the most hated player on the other team.
Marcus Peters.
Correct.
Let's say.
And Mr. Marshawn Lynch. So that, of course, I think is probably going to cause some problems in the locker room. Then right after that happens, they're saying that Donald Penn, the lineman, is fighting on the sideline with either Michael Crabtree or Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper couldn't catch the ball until last night. Derek Carr had a broken back. This team was about ready to crumble. They were on the tipping point. And if the Chiefs go win that game, that team might just fall apart.
Oh.
And it might be the end of this Raiders team that we know.
And if they'd lost, it might have been the end of Marshawn Lynch in a Raiders uniform. He's going to get suspended. I don't know for how long. He's going to get fined. But it's really interesting because Marcus Peters for the Chiefs, who, by the way, he would be a perfect Raider. He really would. I mean, he's got the Raider.
He's from there, too.
Yeah, exactly. He's from Oakland. He was getting heckled during the game. He's got that Raider mentality. But Marcus Peters, you know, he would have been really, you know, his teammates can't be real happy with him either. But for Marshawn Lynch to run onto the field to protect a Chief, What do you think Lenny Dawson and Ben Davidson would
have
thought
about? I think Len Dawson would have just died.
Yeah, and Ben Davidson, I think he'd be rolling over in his grave. I think Big Ben passed away. But anyway, my goodness, Marcus Peters, they said, well, you know, he's like Marshawn's little brother. Well, I don't care.
You're I don't not care his, if Tiki and Rondé are fighting each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, you're
on
not
the
his
sideline.
Little brother when you're playing the Chiefs.
Correct.
You know? I mean, that's the Chiefs and the Raiders. That's the biggest, most hateful rivalry in the NFL. And Marcus Peters, by the way, the man cannot tackle. All he does is grab. The guy does not tackle at all. And that's another thing I noticed in the game last night. You know, when they run those plays in slow motion, you don't see guys wrapping up for the Chiefs. All they're doing is trying to put a shoulder, trying to roll block, you know, grabbed by a jersey. They are not breaking down, tackling, wrapping up, and face planting a guy. I mean, this is a defense right now that is in really dire straits. And right now, it's red flag time for the defense.
The other thing about that Marcus Peters play that absolutely drove me crazy was that the Raiders were starting this big commotion and there was a personal foul for a late hit on Marcus Peters. The hit was not late. Derek Carr was on his feet, the whistle had not blown, and he had not given himself up. I can't remember who the defensive lineman was that had a hold of him, but he was a runner.
I think what they really should have ruled was unnecessary roughness because he went into his back, his exposed back area. That's that defenseless player type thing. But Marcus Peters, he's got to get under control. That guy, right now, emotionally, he is on the emotional train wreck right now. And you know how many times have we seen on the Chiefs sideline someone having to calm down Marcus Peters? We've been seeing it an awful lot lately. And of course, you know, he's not real thrilled with the fans of Kansas City. He felt like he got heckled at the last home game. And if you listen to the guy, I mean, he is a live wire. I mean, he's out there. So
I have the bleep button ready.
Yeah.
Whenever
so
Marcus
anyway,
Peters starts to go off.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, he's a great pass cover guy. He's terrible in run, you know, in run stoppage, but as far as deflecting passes, he's really good in that, or intercepting passes. Teams just don't try him very often, but I think you're going to see more teams start to test him because they know emotionally right now he's not there.
Another point that we have made since day number one of this show, Steve, this is now day number 15 of this show.
And we still have a job.
Somehow, I don't know. Our bosses are looking in at us right now, about ready to pull the plug. The other thing that we've talked about is this Chiefs team in the fourth quarter and how Andy Reid and the Chiefs, they have this mentality right now that they are going to finish strong, finish games, win it with your defense, go down and score with your offense. Well, they lost in the fourth quarter last night 10-0. And that, to me, describes how this game ends. The Chiefs, what they have done so well all season long is winning games at the end. Whenever they had their chance to put it away with 4 minutes to go, they turned away from what they've been doing all season long.
And the other thing we haven't talked about, the offensive line did not have a good game.
Nope.
You look at the Chiefs' offense, big yards, but that was because Kareem Hunt made some incredible second efforts. That's because Alex Smith, despite running for his life, was pinpoint accurate, and that's because Tyreek Hill, as I said in my column, is Usain Bolt wearing shoulder pads. So anyway, I just think that, you know, in spite of the offensive line, the Chiefs were able to get big yards, but right now it's number one, the secondary, number two, the pass rush, number three, the offensive line. Those are the three things the Chiefs have 11 days to correct before they host Denver. And if they lose at home to Denver, that would put them 1-2 in the division. That would be two home losses. And you're thinking, let's just get a wild card berth at that point.
That would put them at 5-3. So coming up after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about the Chiefs game and preview the Broncos game coming up. And then at the end of the show, we will go through Fearless Forecaster's big picks for the weekend high school games as well as the Big 12. And I think he's going to have a really bold pick about the KU-TCU game in the primetime slot. I mean, that is the game that you have to be ready to watch. It's going to be the most fun game of the year.
That game should be shown after 9 o'clock because the children should not be watching that game.
Or it should be played at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM, KBBE. KABBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Fitting music here on According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, talking about the Chiefs' blunders against the Oakland Raiders last night, falling 31-30 on the final play of the game. And we had the final play of the game about 28 times last night, as their flags in the end zone and an offensive pass interference, defensive holding, and then finally, Derek Carr was able to beat the Chiefs' secondary and get the final game-winning touchdown into Michael Crabtree, the extra point, up and good, and it was a bit of a disaster ending for the Chiefs at the Coliseum last night. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell here on According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. And Steve, one thing that I was thinking about during the game last night was the Chiefs' defensive backs and their secondary, to me, have hit a bit of a mental block and a mental wall that they are not able to do it mentally right now. I think they're all capable. We have seen Terrence Mitchell be good. We've seen Phillip Gaines be good. We've seen Eric Murray be good. And, you know, Dan Sorensen, Ron Parker still have been pretty solid in what we expect from them. But with those three guys, they are mentally out of it right now. And do you remember that game in 2013 when Peyton Manning and the Broncos were in Kansas City and they decided to make a big target out of Marcus Cooper? And they just went at him and at him and at him. And from that point on, Marcus Cooper, I mean, he was mentally out of it. He was never going to be good with the Chiefs.
His career
again
was done
after that game.
Yeah, he left. I think I can't remember who he went, like maybe Carolina or somebody like that. But
I think he was on the Cardinals recently.
That could be, but Marcus Cooper, and I think he wore 39, if I remember right.
He was 31.
Oh, 31, okay. But, you know, Terrence Mitchell is the new Marcus Cooper, and it wouldn't surprise me, you know, they've got 10 days repair. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another corner. Steven Nelson's been hurt all year. I don't know when he gets back. I wasn't a big Steven Nelson fan either, though. So I got a feeling in the first round of the draft, you're going to see the Chiefs take a corner and then probably offensive lineman, then a corner, then an offensive lineman, and then a corner. So, you know, they have got to find some help. They've got some areas that really need shoring up. But every team does. That's the thing about the NFL. Every team's got flaws. We all knew the Chiefs weren't going to go 16-0. They got punched in the mouth by Pittsburgh, shook their confidence a little bit. But it looked like for three quarters they looked fine against Oakland, and then they just kind of went vanilla. You know, and one thing I've noticed the last few games, they're not running all their motion stuff like they used to, you know, to get the defenses, you know, moving. They've just kind of stayed away from that. Every once in a while they'll run Tyreek Hill on a jet sweep. But for the most part, they've gotten pretty vanilla after all that gadgetry they had early in the year.
I don't want to make my typical Patrick Mahomes comment today as much, but I was thinking about it last night. Boy, would it be nice if the Chiefs had a first-round defensive back, whether it be a safety or a corner, that they picked up in the draft and could have been a lockdown guy instead of clipboard. That's what I'm just going to start calling him now.
And now,
clipboard,
and now,
standing,
you know,
over on the sideline.
And the thing is, Alex Smith right now is the best player. He's playing the best of any player in the NFL.
He might be the best quarterback in the NFL
right now. But yet,
he
could be gone after this year because his contract's up, and it's going to cost about $17 million, you know, to keep him. And do they really want to, you know, the thing is, he's going to be, what, 33 or 34 next year. But the thing about quarterbacks in the NFL is, you know, you're seeing guys at 37 and 38.
Tom Brady's 58, and he's still doing well.
Carson Palmer's way up there. I mean, you got quarterbacks in their late 30s still performing admirably. Peyton Manning led Denver to a Super Bowl.
And couldn't throw.
Yeah, and he was like 40 or 41. So, anyway, the Chiefs, they're going to have a big decision to make with Alex Smith, and he's making it very hard for him.
So the game with the Broncos coming up Monday night at home, and of course, when the Chiefs get to play a Monday night game at home, Arrowhead is rocking. When they get to play the Denver Broncos at home, Arrowhead is rocking. And the Broncos are another team, and we're going to see what they do this weekend, but they are another team that is just absolutely struggling right now. Their quarterback in Trevor Siemian is just not good. Who knows what's going to happen with Emmanuel Sanders? The defense has been okay for Denver, but it hasn't been enough to bail their offense out. This could be another team that walks into the Chiefs to play them and is on the verge of breaking. And if the Chiefs don't take advantage and put it to them, then they're going to be 5-3 and have a chance to maybe not even make the playoffs.
My concern is Jamaal Charles is going to have about 150 yards rushing. Denver has really kept him under wraps, but when he has carried the ball, he's done pretty good. This might be the game where they say, Jamaal, we're going to give it to you about 20 times because you know he was upset with the way the Chiefs got rid of him. He felt like he didn't really get a fair offer, and he could use that as motivation. And he's still pretty good. I watched him a couple games, even though he's only getting about six or seven carries a game. He's got plenty left in the tank.
And you know who is not that good and is kind of washed up to me is Marshawn Lynch. Two carries for 9 yards last night, and that's just a bit of a gimmick to me to bring him in. And maybe it's just a team morale thing. Maybe.
Gate attraction.
Because he's from there.
Exactly.
Gate attraction. I don't know, but he's not good. Everyone wants to talk about beast mode, and I think in the first game that they played, he picked up 60 or 70 yards, but ever since, we hit it on it a little bit yesterday.
He's averaging 42 yards a game going into last night.
It's hard to take a year off and get back into it, and we've talked about it with Le'Veon Bell, even coming into the season when taking the summer off, essentially, and going into it without a training camp. It is hard to get back into that mindset, especially when Marshawn just probably sat around for a year and ate Skittles and did nothing.
Exactly, and they've got another – the other guy that carried the ball wasn't too bad, though.
Washington, Murray?
DeAndre Washington, and he's not a bad back, but he's not a kind of back that's going to carry it 20 times a game. He's out of Texas Tech, played in the spread offense, and got a lot of his yards that way just with those big gaps because Texas Tech used to take those wide splits. I mean, they would really widen out the defensive front, but Marshawn Lynch, right now he's a one-trick pony.
Yeah. Well, the Chiefs lose 31-30 last night, and I guess our ranting about that game has come to a close. I know that we could probably talk about the Chiefs and the Raiders from last night for another hour and a half on this show, but we've only got 30 minutes on According to Jim, and so with our next 10, we're going to talk about the area games coming up this weekend, as well as some of the Big 12 games, and we will go through Fearless Forecaster's picks. He dropped them off this morning, had to make a couple of changes here and there, but we will go over what he is thinking we will see this weekend, and also a last-minute preview for the Bullpups and Wamigo tonight at 7 o'clock at McPherson Stadium, and our coverage will start at 6:30. According to Jim, back after this on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on According to Jim, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell on 96.7 FM, KBBE, and of course, if you've missed any of the show or any of our previous shows, you can find us on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve and I are still fuming in here over the Chiefs' 31-30 loss to the Oakland Raiders, and Steve, I made the point yesterday that when you play on a Thursday night and your team wins, the rest of the weekend is fun, and you get to sit back on Sunday and relax and not have to think about maybe losing a game. But when you lose, oh, it's just agony, and I don't even want to watch the NFL on Sunday afternoon. It makes my head hurt. Well, we have a lot of fun football coming up tonight as well as over the weekend, and I guess we can start with the McPherson area games. We'll get to the Bullpups last, but high school and district play, and one of the big games that a lot of the people up in the Lindsborg area will be paying attention to is Smoky Valley taking on Chapman in the second game of district play. Smoky Valley 6-1, Chapman 1-6. This is another game where the Vikings continue to roll.
This one's going to be over early. Vikings are going to take care of business. Fearless likes Smoky 35, Chapman 7. And actually, that's one that whatever Coach Tim Lambert wants it to be, that's what it's going to be.
And then when we go down to the 3A level, this one could be interesting. Another game in district play for Heston. 4-3, they won last week by 21, so they're sitting pretty. While Southeast of Saline is 3-4, and they are minus 21 in district play. That one will be played down at Heston.
Yeah, if Heston wins that one tonight, they're basically in. They'll play Marion next week for the district championship. So both teams, in fact, Heston and Marion could be 2-0 going into that game next week. Fearless likes Heston, 38, Southeast of Saline, 20.
And then in 2-1A, Mound Ridge is at home against Medicine Lodge. Both teams are 2-5. But Mound Ridge with a chance, if they keep winning, and especially if win out, they will probably make the playoffs.
And yeah, in fact, if Mountain Ridge wins this game, they do get in because this is their last district game, and they own the tiebreakers. But they don't have Mason Dick. Broke his arm on the third play of the game. A healthy Mason Dick, and Mountain Ridge wins this game handily. As it is, Mountain Ridge 20, Medicine Lodge 13 will be much closer without Mason Dick.
And then the weird game for this week is that Inman is playing up in Olathe tomorrow. A high school game on a Saturday in Olathe at the College Boulevard Activity Center. Of course, those are my old stomping grounds, Steve, at CBAC. I played a lot of high school baseball games out there. I love CBAC. It is a little bit like home to me, but Inman taking on Christ Prep Academy. That is a very weird game for this point in the season.
Christ Prep, they played last year. Christ Prep Academy is actually 5-2 on the year. Did beat Medicine Lodge, so that tells me Medicine Lodge took care of Inman. But last year, Inman beat them. But this year, it's going to be Christ Prep Academy 12, Inman 6.
And then when we get down to the 8-man ranks, Canton Galva 3-4 taking on Gossel. And then Little River is at Ellenwood. Little River looks like they are in control for a playoff berth as well.
Yeah, that game's going to end early. It ain't even going to go the distance. Little River 62, Ellenwood 18 by the it should be 63-18 by the 45-point rule.
There you go.
But Little River will get it done in easy fashion.
And now the other games in Arc Valley League play.
Canton Galva.
Yeah, you almost forgot about
it. Yeah, forgot Canton Galva. The Eagles and Bluebirds of Gossel, kind of a rivalry game. You know, they're not too far apart. There will be no defense in this game. It's going to be a fun game for the fans, a tough night for defensive coordinators. But I like the Eagles to get back to 500 with a 48-38 win over Gossel, and that would mean Canton Galva could end up with a winning record with a win against Ellenwood next week.
All right, when we get up to the 4A1 ranks, of course, District 8 is the one that McPherson is in. They take on Wamego tonight. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the other matchup that they're keeping their eye on is Abilene taking on Hayes, and both of those teams are coming off of losses. Abilene lost in overtime to Wamego last week. Hayes is, of course, on the verge of breaking as a program with everything that's been going wild there. So that game will be played tonight. And then the other game to keep our eye on is in District 7 with Andale taking on Circle. And Circle
Yikes.
Is about a 85-point underdog.
They wouldn't even put that game on the board at Vegas. That game would
no.
be because Andale's going to be able to do whatever they want. It's going to be similar to the Bullpups game. Fearless says Andale 60, Circle 0.
Now, Bueller will take on El Dorado. And on the surface, you would think, okay, Bueller is going to win this game big. But if, for some reason, Bueller slipped up and lost to this El Dorado team, they would be pretty much eliminated. I don't think they would have a chance to get out of it after
and
that.
And that score from last week, Andale 17, Bueller 6, really stunned me. They did a good job of containing Dalton Brown. It's starting to look like the offense for Bueller is Dalton Brown and not much else. But Bueller and El Dorado, El Dorado's beaten up on some of the Little Sisters of the Poor. That's why they're 4-3. I don't see this one being close. Neither Fearless. Fearless said Bueller 48, El Dorado 14.
And then in the other districts that we're keeping our eye on, Augusta will be at Andover Central tonight, and Fearless had an interesting decision on that one.
Yeah, Fearless had originally turned in Andover Central and then stopped back in, says, I'm changing my pick. And Fearless violates the golden rule. Go with your first thought. But Fearless is going Augusta 28, Andover Central 21. I think that one might go the other way.
And then May South will be taking on Rose Hill tonight. Rose Hill has been struggling. May South had to fight back against Augusta to win last week. I think that the Mavericks will continue to win there. And if that's the case, both McPherson and May South are 7-1 going into week 9, given that the Bullpups.
Yeah, and Fearless said 32-6, May South. Not much trouble. May South, though, just does not have the home run hitting offense. They've got to grind it out to score points.
And then finally, the feature game tonight, McPherson taking on Wamego at McPherson Stadium. You and I will be on the call. We will take our pregame over at 6:30 right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE. And McPherson 6-1, Wamego is 4-3. The Red Raiders have been playing well and have won 3 straight games. They are a big physical team, but they haven't really been able to manufacture offense to score points. And going up against a McPherson defense with the first team not allowing a touchdown since week 2, that does not seem like a great recipe.
And, you know, like you say, they haven't been scoring a lot of points, but statistically, They're one of the best team offenses we've played this year. They get a lot of yards. They don't seem to put a lot of points on the board, but 300-pounders in the offensive line. I talked to a couple people, and they said once you get past the line, though, you're off to the races. I think the Bullpups will get pushed in this game early. I think it'll be a pretty close game early. Fearless and I were talking about this. Fearless goes McPherson 35, Wamigo 14. That 14 might be a little high for Wamigo, though.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Wamigo at 14 is a bit of a stretch. Okay, Big 12 games coming up this weekend. The marquee primetime game, KU going down to Fort Worth to take on the number 4 Horned Frogs. And oh boy, Steve, they are 38-point underdogs to open, and I just do not think this is going to be pretty.
38 is way too low. And KU's, of course, KU's lost like 2,000 road games in a row. It's a team that I think's packed it in. They don't look like they're, you know, they just don't know like they know how to play. I mean, they really don't. And, you know, I don't know what they're teaching them up there, but TCU 63, Kansas 7.
And then the other local game, Kansas State taking on Oklahoma. Oklahoma, after losing to Iowa State 2 weeks ago, went down to the Red River Rivalry, the hardest thing to say in the world, and beat Texas. It was a good game, and K-State, of course, is coming off of that loss to TCU. I don't have a great feel for this one, except for that I think OU is going to score a lot of points.
I don't know what's going on with Kansas State. I had them possibly winning the Big 12 before the year. I think they'll play it closer than people think. Fearless said 45-31 Sooners, but Alex Barnes has got to touch the football. I don't know what if they're saving him for the winter prom or what it is, but Alex Barnes needs 20 touches. And, of course, they get Jesse Ertz back this week. Who knows? This might be the week Kansas State puts it all together and surprises the Sooners. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if K-State wins, but you got to like Oklahoma.
And then we have West Virginia taking on Baylor, Oklahoma State against Texas, and Iowa State against Texas Tech. Steve, 3 weeks of this show, according to Jim, are officially in the books, and somehow we've made it.
We still have a job. I mean, I'm just glad to be gainfully employed.
Yeah, these are the fun days when we wish we had 3 hours to dissect this Chiefs game as they lost 31-30. The weekend game's coming up, and of course, the big one to listen to tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff at McPherson Stadium. Wamigo against McPherson, the Bullpups with a win by 12 or more, will at least clinch a playoff berth. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We will see you next week.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.